things that are spent. God takes things that seem not to have anywhere to go. God takes things that are
dead and raises them up. He's a God of resurrection. He's a God who takes things that seem to have run their course, and then miraculously, he makes all things new. We're going to see that today in the life of a man named Moses. Now, we're going to look at Moses this week. We're going to look at from Haggai next week, where God stirred up the hearts of the people to renew a vision that had been spent, that really wasn't coming to pass. The following week, we'll look at new wineskins. And so we're going to examine about what happens when God renews mission. Now, I have a pet peeve, and what I'm going to say is a little bit of heresy. And it's this, that I have an issue when churches embrace the idea that all we need is a mission or vision statement, and that'll get us on the road to where we need to be. I think that is a great business plan. I think it's a great way to do business. I think it has its importance and significance. But what I want to share with you today is that vision does not come from brainstorming. It is not worked up. It is not drummed up. It is not simply a matter of kind of investigating our own desires. Vision is called out, called into being by God. And we'll see that very clearly in the life of Moses. But before we look at the life of Moses, I want to ask you a few questions. Today's message is called A Spent Force Meets a Burning Bush. A spent force meets a burning bush. At the end of my message, I'm going to call you forward for prayer. Some of you who may be spent forces, and the fact that you're coming forward for prayer is not necessarily confession that you're a spent force, but you are looking for God to renew something in your life. You're looking for Him to do something fresh and something new, and I think many of us find ourselves in that position many times in our life. So at the end of my message, I'm going to invite you to come and to have a time of prayer together about this. But before we look at the scriptures, I just want to ask you a few questions. Where are you? Where are you on your life's journey? Some of you are very young. Some of you are not so young. And some of you are in between. Where are you on your life's journey? Where are you with regard to achieving your goals? Things that you thought you could do, that you wanted to do, that seemed within grasp. And perhaps you did accomplish them, or perhaps they just keep, the goalposts just keep moving, keep eluding you. Where are you on accomplishing the things that you have dreamed about? Where are you in all of this? Some of us, I think, have been on the road a long time, and the scenery looks much different from what you expected at this point in time. The fact is, if my early goals had been achieved, at least as a child and as an adolescent, I would be in some sports hall of fame right now. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting on a call, you know? We need you. Like a hole in the head. Think back, what were your visions? What were your goals? Many of them haven't been achieved. But that doesn't mean that God's purpose has been extinguished. God's purpose is still there in your life. It's just that you and I may not have discerned it as it was intended to be discerned. We don't understand it the way it's intended to be understood. Now, we see this very clearly in the life of Moses. He spent a long time on a road, and when we meet him, we're going to find him not where he expected to be, but way out on the backside of a desert somewhere with very few prospects, probably feeling that he was a spent force and probably feeling that whatever it was that he had sensed in his spirit as a young man had no possible chance of being accomplished or coming to pass. And this doesn't just apply to those of us who are older. It applies to younger people as well. So we look at Moses' life, Acts 7, 20 through 29. We have several places where we're told about Moses. We're told that at the time Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. He was brought up for 3 months in Pharaoh's house. And when he was exposed, because that's what they were doing, all the male children were exposed to the elements, hoping that they would die. When he was exposed, this amazing thing happened. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand. But they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And at this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And this is where we're going to find him in a few moments. This is an amazing event. Moses has a lot going for him. Moses was chosen. He was chosen by God to be identified by Pharaoh's daughter and taken into Pharaoh's household. He was privileged. He was brought up in the household of Pharaoh. He was connected. He had connections like no one else in Egypt. He was educated. We are told, that was Stephen's discussion. He said that he was educated in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. He was accomplished. Stephen says he was mighty in words and deeds. We don't know what these words and deeds were, but these are his pre-exile life. He was an up-and-coming person in Egypt, mighty in words and deeds. He had every reason to think that he had a future. He had aspirations, and he even had spiritual aspirations. And he had every reason to think, wow, this is going to be great. How God is going to use me to deliver the people of Israel. That was his goal at age 40. Have you had aspirations? Have you had aspirations for yourself, for your family, for your children? Have you had aspirations for many things in your life? And you don't see them quite working out as you have ordained. You know what? I'm talking to all of you because everybody's in that boat with the exception of a very few folks. I mean, is that right? Is that true? Okay, a few of you agree with me. That's good. He had spiritual aspirations. We see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, we're told in Hebrews, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Because they saw that the child was beautiful, they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So what we're being told here is as Moses came of age and he had all of these advantages and all of these privileges, he began to think about, where did I come from? Who are my people? What has been passed on to me? What should that mean to me? And he began to see the oppression of the Israelite people under the Egyptians. And he had a desire, a human desire, and maybe even a God-given desire to deliver these people. And he said, you know what? I would rather identify with the people of Israel than with the household of privilege in Pharaoh's house in Egypt. Some sense of calling on his life, some sense of destiny on his life. And he acted, as we just read, to try to fill it. He chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. So what this is telling us, Moses at this time had made a conscious effort to go and help the Israelites, and his help was rejected. It was totally not wanted. It was totally not received. You ever been in that position? I'm here to help you. Thanks a lot. But no thanks. So Moses is here to help the Egyptians. Totally not received, totally misunderstood, totally rejected. More than that, he gets into big trouble because he has taken things into his own hands. And where does he find himself 40 years later after these events that we've been talking about? He finds himself on the back side of the desert, 80 years old, a spent force. Any of you on the back side of the desert? Any of you a spent force? I don't want to get depressing about this. I really don't. Any of you saying, how did I get here? Maybe you were exactly where God wants you because God still has a plan. And that plan has to do with the vision that he wants to impart to you. Not one that you will cook up, not one that you will drum up, not one that you will make up, one that you will receive by revelation from the Lord himself. So we look at this in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Moses has now spent 40 years in the wilderness, totally a spent force. Whatever dream, whatever vision, whatever plan, whatever desire, whatever aspiration he had, it's dead and gone. He just wants to make it to the next watering hole with the sheep. That's the extent of the aspiration. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Whenever God calls you, by the way, your name, and especially twice, the right answer is, here I am. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel didn't get it. He thought it was Eli, but he finally got it. He says, here I am. Here I am. And then he said, do not come here near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. It's an amazing statement to me. You know, I don't know if we've lost this sense that God is holy, that to encounter God is life transforming. To encounter God means we're coming into contact with something or someone who's unlike anything or anyone else. It requires our complete attention, devotion, and obedience. Do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet. The place on which you're standing his holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you will bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here it is. Here it is. Moses, the thing you were born for, the thing you knew about when you were 40 years old, the things you tried to accomplish in your own strength, the thing that you stepped out to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use you to deliver my people from Pharaoh and bring them into a new land and to create a people out of them. And Moses' response is, that's great. I've been waiting for this. This is what I always wanted to happen. I knew you'd come through. I knew this was going to happen, Lord. Thank you so much for making this finally happen. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is spent. Moses has nothing left to offer. Even his ambition is gone. Everything is burnt up. But there's one thing that's not burnt up. It is this bush. It is this bush that is burning, that is burning, that is burning, that is revealing something about God. You see, God does not burn us up. He renews us. He makes us new. And so he says, who am I? And he said, God said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you've brought the people of Egypt out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Moses, just look into the future. The day is going to come when you're going to come right here, and all those people are going to come with you. I will fulfill my word. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So what's happened here? We see four important things. When God renews our vision, when God renews our spirit, when God renews what he's doing in our lives, he does it. He renews vision through reclaimed vessels. Some of you have experienced some real failures in your life. Failures in your work or in your ministry or in your home relationships. God reclaims spent vessels. That is what God does. He reclaims vessels. Moses' aspirations have diminished, and yet God chooses to call him. Why is that? I think we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, why this happens. The treasure that God places within us are in jars of clay, an earthen vessel, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You know, if Moses had gone forward at age 40 with all of his advantages, all of his connections, all of his ambition, all of his good ideas, and delivered the people of Israel, I don't know that God would have been glorified. I don't know that people would have seen God. They would have seen Moses. But now, in this context, the only thing that can be seen is the glory and the person of God. So God renews vision through reclaimed vessels. He renews vision through visitation. There's a divine encounter. Moses, there's a burning bush. I remember a man named Paul Johansson speaking years ago at Oak Lee Christian Fellowship. When God had called him to go and serve actually in Africa for a number of years, he said, you know, God's call came to me, and it was like I couldn't avoid it. It was a burning bush that simply would not go away. It just wouldn't go away. Have you got a burning bush in your life? Is there a burning bush somewhere in your life? Well, you don't have to go and set a bush on fire, because they are given by revelation. They are given as a gift. They're not drummed up. They're not brainstormed up. They are given by revelation. They are given by visitation of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Nehemiah. He was had great advantages in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And he was the cupbearer to the king. He had every advantage. But when he heard about the people of Israel and how the city was destroyed, God put a burden on him that he couldn't get rid of. He couldn't avoid it. It was like a burning bush, something that just gripped his heart. And he felt he needed, he must act on it. We see this in Mother Teresa's life. When she was 53 years old, she had spent years in her order. She was teaching. She was working at a girls' school and doing some other things. But she was a missionary. She was from Skopje in Albania. Actually, in Macedonia, she was of Albanian descent. She was from Skopje and was stationed in India. And on a train ride, as she was riding a train, it's depicted in one encounter where a man approached her and said, please help me, a very poor, needy, desperate person. And God spoke to her through that man as if it were a burning bush. She said, I could not get that vision out of my mind. Your vision may not be to save India, or to save the children of Israel from Egypt, or to save the children of Israel and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We think, oh, these great things. You may have a more modest calling. And we have to embrace the more modest calling. But if it's God's calling, that's the key. What is God calling me to? Where is He leading me? Paul, on a second missionary journey, was going through, and they got boxed in. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go to Mysia or to another part of Asia. The Holy Spirit boxed them in, and as they were sitting there, just kind of passing time in Troas, the Holy Spirit appeared to Paul in a dream, a man of Macedonia saying, come and help us. It was a revelation. It was a visitation. It was something God gave to Paul. We are dependent upon God's revelation for us. We're dependent upon that. God renews vision through visitation, through revelation. The Spirit of the Lord must stir up our hearts. And that's one of the things that we're embracing as a church. God has told us that in the book of Haggai, the scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord stirred up the hearts of Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak. And the Spirit of the Lord stirred up the hearts of the people. As the Spirit of the Lord stirs up our hearts, we will have a sense of direction and calling and purpose that He puts in the life of each one of us. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. God visits us through revelation. So what does God reveal to Moses? And what does God reveal when He's revealing a vision? He reveals His heart. I have seen the suffering of my people Israel. God reveals His purpose. I want to deliver them. He reveals His character. I want to visit them and set them free. When God visits us and God gives us a vision, it's not about how important we're going to be, how great we're going to be, how big the things we're going to do are. It's about, have we grasped God's heart, God's purpose, and God's character? God's spirit of compassion in this case for the people of Israel. God is merciful. God is powerful. God is sovereign. God is always for the person who is in need or who is suffering. And if there is a vision from God, it must touch that aspect of God's heart. That's what He's after. He wants to use us to touch the lives of those upon whom He is having compassion. God fulfills His vision through His own vitality. Moses said, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And God says, "I will be with you." Before, Moses was with Moses when he went to the children of Israel and he delivered them, supposedly. But now he is sent by God and God will deliver. This is where the vitality comes from. So often we make that mistake and that error. We are dependent upon God as our vitality. I will be with you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever is going on, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has made you a vessel of honor. He has made you a work of art for Himself. He wants to use you for some purpose. He has called you be a blessing. Scripture says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the works that He has created beforehand that we should walk in them. Brothers and sisters, you are not a spent force. You are not at the end of the road. You might be on the backside of the wilderness, but it may be God has you exactly where He wants you. He wants to renew your vision. He wants to renew His calling in your life. He wants to bless not only you, but bless others through you. Some of you are looking at me just like Moses. Come on. Come on, who am I? No, I'm serious. That burning bush is always just around the corner. So what was the vision for Moses? He said, "Moses, here's what I want you to do. Tell my people, tell Pharaoh to let my people go because they're oppressed and because they're mine, because they're going to worship and glorify me." And that vision was fulfilled. You know about the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Moses fulfilled his mission. Visions are not cooked up. They are not worked up. They're not drummed up. They are called into being by God. That is why we must approach and draw near and ask him to speak his heart to us. Some of you this morning may feel like spent forces. Some of you feel very energetic and ready to go. You still need God's wisdom and God's guidance. All of us do. Christ has redeemed you for a purpose. There is no greater spent force than Jesus Christ when he was in the grave. Totally spent, dead. God raised him from the dead. I want you to know that we meet that burning bush and God completely renews and transforms us. This is a reason for great hope, not only for now, but for the future. And some of you aren't old enough to be in Moses' shoes because he was 80. There's only a few of us that actually meet that condition. That was an attempt at humor, but I don't think it went over very well. God wants to renew his work in our lives. I want to take a moment and pray. May the Lord take us as we are, reveal himself to us, and empower us to pursue his purpose as individuals and as a church.